We go to church and we sit in comfortable chairs, we sing comfortable songs, we hear comfortable sermons, drink comfortable coffee, and then we wonder why we're not experiencing revival. There's nothing comfortable about the glory of God. The awestruck wonder and glory of my God.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. I'm excited about wrapping up this two-part series as we've been examining what it means to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Romans chapter 13, looking at verse 14, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Who Are You Putting On?
You could say it like this. We are to cast off darkness and walk in light. We are to cast off wickedness and be clothed in holiness. We are to forsake the old man and live as the new man in Christ. As we are cloaked in Christ, we are to put on his character, his attributes, everything about him is what we're to intentionally do. Again, don't miss this. This is not putting on Jesus so you and I can govern him. This is putting on Jesus to be clothed and dressed and arrayed with so that he will begin to govern us. We're transferring authority and all of our rights over to him, saying, my life's no longer my own. I give my life away. That's why we say the word Lord. See, Lord is so pivotal. Don't miss this. When Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he's saying. The Messiah, but also he to whom a person or thing belongs. The owner or possessor of something or someone. Is that not cool? I mean, when you are in Christ, he owns you. And you want him to own you. This is not demonic slavery from the pit of hell. No, 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 no. Please, let me make sure we're clear on this, church. This is not demonic slavery from the pit of hell. This is a willingness to say, I want you to own me. Life is in you. My life is in your hands. Take my life and let it be. That's what lordship is all about. So many people want Jesus to be their Savior. They just don't want him to be their Lord. He wants to be your Savior, but he wants to be your Lord. And of course, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus means salvation. Jehovah is salvation, is what that means. Christ, Christos, means anointed. You pack that together, that is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when you're in a struggle, and I tell people this all the time, they say, what do you do when you're in a struggle? I say, well, there's multiple things you can do. But one of the things I would implore you to do at all times would be simply to speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ out loud. You're in trouble. You're in a calamity. You're in a difficult situation. You're in a temptation. You're in an addiction. Whatever it is on your plate today, and you begin just to speak, you say, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's power. There's power when we speak the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why key number two in your notes, key number two, we must intentionally dress our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ all the day long. Let me say that again. Key number two, we must intentionally dress our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls, everything that we are, with the Lord Jesus Christ all the day long. Don't just do it just in the morning. By lunchtime, I'm tempted to live in sin. All the day long, we are dressed in Jesus. You guys remember back in the day, there was this basketball player who was okay, and his name was Michael Jordan. You guys remember him? I mean, he was decent, right? He was decent. It wasn't too bad. Do you remember the catchphrase that we used to say about Michael Jordan? It was in all the commercials, wasn't it? I want to be like Mike. Wouldn't that be cool? Actually, wouldn't that be infinitely cool to the infinite power, which I know sounds redundant, but that's intentional. Wouldn't that be infinitely cool to the infinite power that our mantra is, I just want to be like Jesus. Like you get up every morning going, here's my life. Jesus, I just want to be like you. See, Romans 8:29 says, being conformed to the Christ likeness of him, Jesus. We're being conformed to that. That's the mission. That's the goal. That we put on the righteous robe of Jesus. I love these supporting verses that I pray will encourage you. Acts 28:30-31. Acts 28:30-31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house. Remember, this is the end of Acts, the very end of Acts, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. I love that verse. Man, when you live in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is confidence in the name of Jesus. Amen? And I love the last part of that verse. It simply says this, no one forbidding him. Some translations saying, not being hindered. Don't you love that? I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. My life is no longer my own. I give my life away. I've cast off the works of darkness. I'm awakened now. I'm putting on the armor of light. Oh, there is confidence in the name of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, write that down. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. Paul writes to the church there in Thessalonica that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And one verse, he doubles down. That's how powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is in your life. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Love this verse. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you see what Paul is saying there in 2 Corinthians? And do you see what he's saying here in Romans 13:14? He's saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be dressed in his robe of righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. And lastly, part three, here it is. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we to do? And what are we to be on our guard against? Here's what Paul says. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, I want you to dial in. If you're asleep right now, wake up. I want to dial this thing in, okay? This is very mission critical. Don't miss what's going to be said next. Making no provision. It means this. To give no forethought to not map out. Have you ever noticed that sin begins in the battlefield of the mind? We open the door, don't we? Satan's out there on our front porch, like, and he's wearing camo, he's hiding in your bushes, and he's trying to get in, isn't he? And one of the moments we let down our guard, and something comes in our mind, and we go, I mean, we know it's wrong. We know it's going to lead to darkness. We know it's going to lead to great consequences. But we weigh it out, don't we? We get one of those old-fashioned scales and we go, my pleasure or living for God? my pleasure or living for God? And we go, many times, I'll take my pleasure. And yet what we don't remember is that that old saying rings so true that sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It will keep you far longer than you ever wanted to stay. And you're going to pay a price far greater than you ever wanted to pay. Paul is saying, make no provision. No in the Greek means this. Write this down. You ready? No. None. Zero. Nada. Nilch. It's like when God said in the Hebrew back in Exodus 20, there shall be no other gods before me. God wasn't saying, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm going to cry uncle. I give in. You know, if you want a couple other gods on your mantle, fine. No, that's not what God's saying. He says in Exodus 20, there will be no other gods before me. Zero, not a nilch. Paul's saying there, make no provision for the flesh. He's saying zero. Don't even entertain the thought of entertaining it. Flee from it. Run from it. It will ensnare your soul. It will drag you down like the greatest quicksand. It will lead to destruction. Make no provision. Don't map it out. For what? The flesh. He's not talking about, per se, the physical flesh. He's talking about the things of the flesh. The world. The lust of the world. The pride of life. All that goes on in our hearts that are wicked. And we have this earthly nature that does not crave God. We want to be God. That's what sin is. Sin is just not missing God's mark. Sin is, God, I got a better idea than you do about this. And we know this, that that's not going to work out very well, because God tells us through his word that he opposes the proud. He is literally against and in a war with that person who is prideful. To do what though? He says, make no provision for the flesh, that earth nature of man that's apart from divine influence, that we're prone to sin, we're prone to wonder, every one of us, myself at the top of the list. If I'm not putting on Jesus, I am prone to wonder. Not wonder as in, hey, I wonder what's for lunch. I'm talking about wandering. I will wander off in a heartbeat if I'm not putting on Jesus. Day in, day out, second by second, moment by moment, he says this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, as I travel and speak, I'll ask with the men's group or church, wherever I am, I'll ask them often, when you hear the word lust, what comes to your mind? 10 times out of 10, you think of something to do with sex, right? That can be true. That can be true. But the actual root definition of the word lust means this, unbridled desire. I can have an unbridled desire for chocolate chip cookies. Praise Jesus. Amen. I think the Holy Spirit hovers over chocolate chip cookies. I'm convinced of that. You know what I mean? We can have an unbridled desire for anything. And Paul is intentionally imploring that definition. Yes, he listed several things there in 11 through 13. But he's saying, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. See, the flesh craves to lust after, to crave, to covet anything but Jesus. I mean, the flesh is so wicked, the flesh sees Jesus, and the flesh is scrambling, let me find something, anything. Because the flesh doesn't want Jesus. But the redeemed flesh craves Jesus. Key number 3, last key here. If I put on Christ, then I will make no provision for the flesh. I know this is earth-shattering, these statements. You're probably just enamored. Key number 3, if I put on Christ, then I will not make provision for the flesh. Make a note there in your notes. This is a moment-by-moment putting on. Don't say, like I run into so many people. I see this everywhere I go. Well, tell me about your life. Well, you know, I got baptized when I was 7. Great, praise Jesus. You know, you're 57 now. What's been going on for the last 50 years? Nothing. Okay, that's not a good answer. Like, if you're really in Christ, it's not to mean you're not going to struggle. It doesn't mean there's not going to be dark seasons. It doesn't mean there's not going to be dark nights of the soul or desert experiences. But there will be a profound change when you encounter Jesus, because Jesus changes people. We make no provision for the flesh. James 4, one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture, verse 7 through 8, says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist, he flees. That's a promise from God's Word, by the way. Resist him and he will flee. Draw near to God, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to draw near to you. Resist the enemy, all the temptations of the enemy that are going to lead you to nowhere, that are going to lead you to a path of destruction. Resist, 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 and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I love Romans 6:12. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Don't cohabitate again with it. Our challenge in the American culture is God hasn't struck us with a lightning bolt yet, and so we somehow derive that he's okay. And now we start rewriting his word. Well, he didn't really mean that. I don't think that's that bad, really. That's the flesh and its deceitfulness coming onto the scene is what that is. I made this note about my life, and perhaps you can sympathize and empathize with me. My flesh will lead me as much as I allow it to lead me. My flesh will lead me as much as I allow it to. That's why Paul is saying put on. There's effort there, not for salvation again. You've already been saved, but you got to say, look, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to be dialed in. Otherwise, your flesh will lead you like that fishing lure out in the Gulf of Mexico. And that baby will run until she's gone, won't she? That fish. That's what sin will do. When you open the door and give it free rein, there she goes. And now you're on the path of heartache and pain. Romans 8:8, short verse but powerful. Romans 8:8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, period. Wow. That's a great memory verse, isn't it? God's really serious, isn't he? So those that are in the flesh cannot please him. Galatians 5:16-17, leading into the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a war going on here. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. James 1:15. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Peter is begging the readers in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. He's imploring them, I beg you, abstain from those things. They're going to war against your soul. They're going to hold you captive. You're going to be walking around in a metaphorical prison as you live for the flesh. 1 John 2:16-17. 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And lastly, don't miss this. Don't miss this from Solomon. The richest dude, right? He had everything. And here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 through 14. He had the health. He had the wealth. He had the prosperity. Here's what he says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment. including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Wow. That's serious stuff, isn't it? Serious. For those of us in the room today that are in Christ, we have a huge responsibility. It's a glorious responsibility, but it's huge. Matter of fact, it's so huge, you can't do it. I can't do it. You got to put Jesus on to accomplish the task. That's why freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. It costs dearly. Jesus didn't free you and free me with cheap grace that we could desecrate and defame by holding on to Him and simultaneously holding on to the world and diving headfirst into sin. When a person gives their life to Jesus, there's an expectation that the truly saved life will begin to be a progressively changed life as the mind, heart, and soul are made new through sanctification by the righteous, atoning, imputing, and saving blood of Jesus Christ. Now here's our challenge as I close. We live in a consumer church culture. And what I mean by that is, if you're in it to revolve around what you want, at some point, those human people are going to let you down. Matter of fact, you think there's on a deeper level as I was praying through this, and I thought of 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 4, where it says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." I see this everywhere. Church doesn't have to be boring. Come on down, let's have some fun. I'm not against fun. I love to joke. But here's the real deal. My heart breaks as churches willingly abandon confidence in the power and the Word of God to convict the human heart. They begin to do anything to draw a crowd. I can stand out here today on this street, and I can stand out and I can wave $100 bills. I guarantee you this place will be packed. We'd have 7 services every Sunday, $100 bills, packed to capacity. Of course you're going to have a lot of people when you appease the flesh. That's what happens. The flesh loves to be appeased. But God's called us to a different standard. As what pleases the flesh is served upon a platter, the people in the pews are more enslaved to the world and themselves like never before. We go to church and we sit in comfortable chairs, we sing comfortable songs, we hear comfortable sermons, drink comfortable coffee, and then we wonder why we're not experiencing revival. There's nothing comfortable about the glory of God. The awestruck wonder and glory of my God. Let me ask you today, are you personally experiencing the awestruck glory of God in your life? Is your family personally experiencing the awestruck glory of God in your life? Is your church personally experiencing the awestruck glory of God in her life? Think about the lostness around you. Think about the people in your sphere of influence that don't even know, but they're begging, they're hurting souls, are waiting for you to share Jesus with them. They're waiting. They don't even know many times. They're so enslaved and so in bondage, they're waiting to hear something, to truly dull the pain, to truly fill the void. People are crying out to be free from pain. People are crying out to be wanted. And you can lead them today to the one that wants them. If you're a true believer in Christ today, remember how deep the Father's love is for you. I want you to picture His love for you right now. He loves you with a love that no human father could ever begin to match. As Paul is imploring the believers in this text to take their sanctification with the utmost seriousness. Remember, you're standing in Christ as He is the victor and you are heir to the throne. Paul even says it so beautifully with great confidence in Romans 8, 36 through 39 when he says this, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yet in all these things, yet not in some of these things, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're just not a victor in Christ. We are more than victors in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why the question I ask today is, who are you putting on? No, really. Who are you putting on? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Amen. God, this is your day. We worship you through this message. We pray you've been honored. I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart have been acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. And we pray this in the mighty, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-consuming fire, the everlasting name of Jesus and Him only do we pray. We pray this in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, do we pray. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.